Well, we just watched some baptisms, and today we're going to be speaking about baptism. We're going to be answering some questions and looking at what Scripture says about baptism. But before we do, I have a story I want to tell you. It's a story that this dad shared with his pastor, and it goes like this. It says, our three-year-old daughter, Rena, sat with us during the baptismal service last Sunday night, which was a new experience for her. And she exclaimed in surprise, and just imagine a three-year-old the way they say it, right? And she said, why he pushed that guy in the water? Right? Why, Dad, why? Well, my wife, this is the guy telling this, my wife tried to explain briefly and quietly, but Rena just wouldn't be satisfied. So they leave church later that night. They tried to provide an answer for the child, so the child's mind could comprehend. We talked about sin and told Rena that when people decide to live for Jesus and do good, they want everyone to know. We then explained that water symbolizes Jesus' washing people from sin. When they come out clean, they're going to try to be good. A moment later, we realized that we were going to have to do a better job explaining this because Rena immediately responded, why didn't Pastor Bob just spank him? Because I guess she had seen it modeled in her home, maybe with her older brothers or sisters. When they were supposed to be good, they needed to be straightened up with the spanking. So, starting today, we were moving away from baptisms, and we're going to spankings. And suddenly, all of a sudden, our spankings registration saw zero. Nobody signed up, right? That's how it goes. But maybe you have been in that place like Rena at some point in your life. Maybe it's today. Maybe it's yesterday. Maybe it's in the past. But you wondered, what is baptism about? Why did he push that guy in the water? Why did he do that? And so today, as we look at God's Word, we're going to try to answer the questions that maybe you've had or you still have about baptism. We're in our series, Faith Foundations. And last week we learned that there is only one foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. We learned that He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life, that no one comes to the Father but through Him. That's the only way to have a relationship with God the Father, through Jesus Christ the Son. So Jesus Christ is the foundation that was laid. And now what we're going to do now, we're going to begin to build upon that foundation, and the only thing that we can build upon that foundation is the teaching of God's Word. Because if we build anything else on that foundation, you know what happens? Those things, they're faulty materials. They don't last. They trick us. They deceive us. They get us into trouble. And so we need the teachings of God to be built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And so that is what we will continue to study and we will continue to look at in the weeks to come. So the question that we seek to answer today is, what is baptism? What is baptism? We just saw four awesome baptisms. That was incredible to watch those. And it was exciting to be in person, to hoot and holler as well. And so as we look to the Scripture to answer the question of as to what baptism is, I first want to address what the word means. You see, back in that day, they had the language, they used the language of the Greeks, and so the Greek word for baptized was used to describe a ship which had sunk or a man who had drowned. And so that's where we get the idea that baptize, the word, means to immerse or submerse. You know, I like to have illustrations to kind of help me understand. Are y'all visual learners? I am a visual learner. So I have some things up here. I have a, can y'all see what these are? I have some Oreos, and I have a nice cold glass of milk, okay? So is there a student in here who would like to volunteer? It means you get to eat the Oreo, okay? Come on, Andrew, I think it's, is it you, Andrew? Come on. Come on up here, Andrew. You got to hurry, though. I'm running out of time. All right, if Andrew's not going, okay, come on. Come on, Andrew. Okay. All right, are you ready, Andrew? Come up here right beside me, please. Okay, I want you to do me, I want you to help me out here, okay? And look at here, I've got a nice little paper towel to help you out. All right, I want you to take this Oreo, okay? And my hands are clean. I want you, okay, no, put it down. I want you to dip your hands in the milk, and you're going to just sprinkle it on top of the Oreo, okay? And sprinkle it. Okay, good. Okay, you've sprinkled that Oreo. Do you agree with me? That Oreo has been sprinkled, okay? Now I want you to take the second Oreo, and I want you to dip it. Dip it. Okay? You want to go ahead and eat it? Okay, all right. And so you've sprinkled that one. You've dipped this one. Now I want you to baptize that one. Now hold on a second. Remember what we talked about the word baptize. What does it mean? It means immerse or submerse. Think about a ship that has gone under the water. Okay? Or has anybody ever dunked you in a pool? Okay, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Okay, so take the third one. I want you to baptize that Oreo. There we go. That Oreo has been baptized. Do you want it? Do you want to take this plate with you and go eat it? There you go. Oh, do you need a paper towel for your hands? Okay, all right. So the word baptize means to immerse, to plunge under, okay? And y'all could see that. Could y'all see it going all the way under? He baptized that whole Oreo, okay? In fact, in our society, you've heard the term baptized by fire, haven't you? That's not just a little sprinkling of problems you're going through, is it? It's just not a little dip. It's an immersion of problems that you're going through or testing or trials. And so baptized, when you see it in the New Testament, it means to immerse. In fact, if you would take, when you're reading about baptism in God's Word, and you were to take and replace that with immerse, your understanding of what is happening in that Scripture would grow. Because that is what the meaning of the word baptize means. You see, there are other words such as sprinkle. There are words for that. There are words for dipping. And then there is the word that the Holy Spirit inspired the writers of the New Testament to use in baptize, to immerse, to bury, to submerse. And so today, in order to further understand some other things about baptism, what we want to do is we want to look at Acts chapter 8, and we'll start here in verse 30 here in just a moment. But we're going to be looking to the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. Some of you guys, maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't heard this story. But this is an incredible story of what this man, the decisions that he made in his life, all in one day. So we kind of look at verse 26 to 29, and let me just give a brief rundown there. You had this Ethiopian eunuch, and he has gone to Jerusalem, and he's gone to worship. And so now he's returning back home. And he is responsible for the queen's treasure. So let me ask you this. Do you think it was just him out there on a camel? No, it wasn't just him out there on a camel, was it? If he's responsible for the queen's treasure, you got to know that there's a whole bunch of people around him. And so he's returning back, and he has the scroll of Isaiah, and he's reading it, and he's confused. And the Holy Spirit leads Philip, which is a preaching deacon, leads Philip to go and to join himself with this man. Why was that important? Well, let's pick up at verse 30. It says, Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" Or as the King James says, "Understand what thou readest." Okay? Do you understand what you're reading? How many of you have ever picked up the Bible, you've read some things, and you're like, that doesn't really make sense? And so maybe you need someone to come alongside you and help you understand it. Well, this is exactly what Philip is there to do. Verse 31, and he said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shears is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? for his life is removed from the earth. The eunuch answered Philip and said, Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of someone else? So he's wanting to understand more about what he has just read. It says, Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. He preached Jesus to him. Verse 36. As they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? Verse 37. And Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. Man, what an awesome story. You have Philip, he comes to this man doesn't understand what he's reading, and so Philip preaches Jesus to him. Why did Philip preach Jesus to him? Because that is what the man needed. He needed a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so Philip began with that scripture and began to teach Jesus to him. Now, as we read it in our Bibles, this seems like it happened like this, right? He takes that scripture and he does a little 5-minute devotional, and then he says, Hey, here's some water, can I be baptized? But I want you to understand something. This is not something that's happening like this. Philip is preaching him a sermon. Philip is a Baptist deacon, okay? And if you think Baptist preachers preach a long time, wait till you hear a Baptist deacon. Just teasing, okay? Don't get mad at me, deacons. But the point is, he sat there and he explained the scriptures to the Ethiopian eunuch. This was something that would have taken a while. And so just imagine, he starts in the Old Testament, he's telling about Jesus, how the prophets, how they prophesied that Jesus would come. Then he tells them that Jesus Christ did come to Bethlehem. And he grew up and he lived this perfect life. And he died on the cross at Calvary. That wasn't the end of the story, was it? He rose 3 days later. Don't you know that he spoke of the baptism of Jesus? He spoke of the baptism that had occurred to the apostles and the other Christians who were being baptized. And so this man, in his excitement, he says, What? Here's water. Can I be baptized? See, Philip didn't worry about teaching him everything that all the teachings of God's Word. He focused in on Jesus Christ because this man needed Jesus. And so as we have read through this, what we're going to do is we're going to look back at these things and we're going to answer some questions, okay? So our first question we're going to answer is this. Who should be baptized? Well, the Ethiopian eunuch, he was a guy who needed a Savior. He was a sinner, right? And he stood condemned before God if he remained that way. But here's the cool thing. He didn't remain that way because Philip taught to him Jesus Christ and that he needed a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so what you see here in verse 37, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answers, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so the Ethiopian eunuch that day made the choice to choose Jesus Christ as his Savior, to repent of his sins, believe in Jesus Christ, and trust him for salvation. That is what he did that day. He made that decision within his heart to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He placed his faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, right? He was saved. This guy is my brother in Christ. I've never met him, but he's my brother in Christ. So who should be baptized? Well, according to this, those who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Those who have repented of their sins and placed their faith in Jesus Christ are the people ready to be baptized. The only person that is ready to be baptized is a person who has made that choice. Now, when should we be baptized? When should a person be baptized? Well, as we see in our story, you have Philip explaining to him who Jesus is. And obviously, as he works through the progression of who Jesus is and what he has done, we get to the point where the Ethiopian eunuch, he sees water and he says, "How about now? How about now? Can I be baptized now?" Why was that? Just like we read in verse 37, it's because this man had made a decision in his heart to trust Jesus Christ as his Savior. And so what he wanted to do right then and there, remember all the people that were around him? All these maybe co-workers, maybe some friends, maybe even some of his family were there with him. All these people in this caravan were with him. And what does he say? He stops the chariot. So you know that there's someone driving the chariot, right? He cries out, "Stop the chariot." And he makes the choice at that moment, after salvation, to follow the Lord in baptism. For this man, it followed salvation and was the first choice that he made as a new believer in Jesus Christ. What an awesome choice. You know, he had these people around to witness and to testify the decision that he was making. We like to have family and friends around when we make that decision to follow Jesus Christ in baptism as well, don't we? It's an awesome thing. We'll get into what baptism does here in just a second, but it's this awesome testimony of what Jesus Christ has done in our life. And so it's wonderful to have family. It's wonderful to have friends. But I do want to point this out to you. This man didn't wait till he got home to be baptized. He didn't say, "Well, I'll put it off and I'll study it for myself and I'll delay and all this type of stuff." And I mean, Philip probably did a good job of teaching him what it meant. And so therefore, when he had the opportunity to believe Jesus Christ as his Savior, when he did that, trust him for salvation, he immediately wanted to follow him in baptism. He made the choice right then and there to follow the Lord in baptism. Now remember, the only type of person who is ready for baptism is a person who has trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And it is important for us to be baptized, to follow the Lord in baptism after salvation. So you may ask you may be wondering, "Well, you know, I'm saved. I know that I'm saved, but I was baptized as a child. I was baptized as an infant." Well, your mom and dad were doing the best that they could to try to get you in a relationship with Jesus Christ. But I want to point something out to you. The New Testament and the way that it describes baptism is it always follows salvation. It always follows salvation. Why is that? Because that is the example that's been set for us. That's what Scriptures declare. And it is this picture of what Christ is doing in our life. So a person should be baptized following salvation. Now, what does baptism do? Why is it important? Well, the reason we like to celebrate this decision is because of what baptism pictures, what baptism shows. You see, by choosing to follow Jesus' example, because you have John the Baptist, he baptized, and then you have Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, and then you have this example that has been set, and it continues. And so, as we follow Jesus' example, we are identifying with Christ Jesus. It is a public statement that I belong to Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is my Savior. It's interesting to note that by being baptized by John the Baptist, Christ Jesus also identified with sinful men. He chose that way of expressing to identify with us, and for us to follow him in baptism identifies us with him. It's kind of like getting a tattoo that says, "I belong to," and then having your parents' names there. Baptism is this public profession of who you've placed your trust in. And so you identify with Christ Jesus. But not only are we identifying with Christ Jesus through baptism, but we are also proclaiming the gospel message. The gospel message is that Jesus Christ, he came to this earth, he lived a perfect life, he died on the cross for our sins, and he was buried, right? And that's the end of the story. No, it's not, right? 3 days later, he rose again. And he lives forevermore. And so when we are baptized, we proclaim the gospel message that Jesus died and was buried and he rose again. That's what we proclaim by following the Lord in baptism. And so we identify with Christ. We proclaim the gospel message. But I also want to point out something else to you. It's this incredible moment that you, this opportunity that you have to worship God through this decision. Because when you choose to follow the Lord in baptism, when you choose to be baptized, we proclaim that I am dying to myself and I am raising up to live for Christ. I want us to look at Romans chapter 6. Verses 3 through 5, quickly. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 through 5, it says this in verse 3. It says, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized or immersed into Christ Jesus have been baptized, immersed into his death?" So if you belong to Jesus Christ, what your baptism is picturing is that you are now dead. Amen. Weird, doesn't it? But I'm telling you, the reason that's a good thing is because when Kyle Clinton makes his decisions, I was almost going to say a bad word, but I mess it up. Okay? I mess it up. And so when I am dead, that's the best place for me to be because I won't mess anything else up anymore. Finally. And so as it says here, we've been baptized or immersed into his death. Verse 4, "Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." And so as we go under, it symbolizes that we have finally said publicly that we are dead to ourselves. And when we raise up out of the water, we proclaim that we're going to walk in newness of life, in a new way of living, not identified with the old man, but with the new man. Man, what a glorious picture. And when you are baptized, you have this opportunity to choose to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in his example. And it's this worshipful experience where you say, "God, I am surrendering my life to you and to you alone. I am dead to myself and I am alive unto you." What an awesome opportunity that we have to worship Christ in this moment when we choose to follow him in baptism. Verse 5 says this, "For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death," died to ourselves, "certainly," listen to this, y'all get excited, y'all ready? "Certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." We're going to be alive again one day when our physical body dies. We are going to be in heaven in eternity with him. That's what that declares. Man, it's an awesome opportunity for this moment of worship. So what does baptism do? Why is it so important? Because it identifies us with Christ. It proclaims the gospel message, and it gives us this opportunity to proclaim that I am dying to myself and I'm raising to walk in newness of life, to live for Him. So that's what baptism does. Now quickly, let me go on the negative and say what it doesn't do. Baptism does not save you. Baptism does not save you. There's a lot of false teaching when it comes to this point of things. But let me ask you this. If baptism saved you, then wouldn't Philip's question to the man say, if you believe with all your heart, and the man would have responded and says, well, I believe, and so therefore I need to be baptized to finish this process, to complete this process of salvation? No. It doesn't say that. So therefore, we have to understand that salvation is separate from baptism. But they are so close, because what should happen is when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, we should follow that in baptism, which declares to the world what the decision that we've just made. It is an outward expression of an inward change. We're showing publicly what God is doing within our lives. So, what is baptism? What have we learned today? Well, do y'all remember the Oreo? If you want some, I got some backstage. Y'all come see me afterwards, all right? Which one was baptized? The third one, right? The third one. It was completely plunged under, which was what that word means. And so when we sit there and we try to make that word mean some things that it doesn't mean, we get into some trouble. We need to take what the word means in the original language, and that means to immerse or submerse. And so baptized means to immerse. And those who are saved should follow the Lord in baptism as soon as they can, right? As soon as you have the opportunity to follow the Lord in baptism, you should follow Him. Why? Because it means that you're being obedient to His Word. Matthew 28, verse 19 says this, "Go ye therefore, teaching them and baptizing them." There's the command from Jesus Christ for us to be baptized, and as we're making disciples, for them to be baptized as well. And when we are baptized, we are identifying with Christ, we're proclaiming the gospel, and we worship God for creating us anew, giving us new life. So, what are your next steps? What do you need to take care of today? Well, some of y'all have been struggling, you've been grappling with this decision for a long time in your life. You know, you were baptized as a child, and that's what you kind of hang on to. And like I said, it's awesome for your parents to try to get you into church and with their relationship with Jesus Christ. But according to the Scriptures, and by the way, there's no Baptist baptism, there's no Catholic baptism, there's no Lutheran baptism. There's only baptism according to the Scriptures, right? And so according to the Scriptures, baptism is it follows salvation. Salvation must precede that. Why? Because if you don't have that understanding, you don't have that knowledge, and you haven't made that decision, then your decision to follow the Lord in baptism doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything to you because you haven't put it in your mind that I am dying to myself and I am raising to walk in newness of life. So if you've never been, maybe you've never been immersed, maybe you've never been baptized, well, I challenge you today to choose baptism. Choose to follow the Lord's example. If you were baptized before you made the decision to trust in Christ, you need to choose baptism. Let me say, we're not trying to strip away the decision that your parents made. Not at all. But isn't it better that you make the decision? Let me ask you this. Can your parents save you? Can they make that choice for you? Not according to God's word. According to God's word, you must realize that you're a sinner. Repent of that sin. Believe what the Bible says about Jesus Christ and trust Him for salvation. And that is a choice that you and you alone can make. And so if it's your choice to trust Him for salvation, shouldn't it be your choice and yours alone to follow Him in baptism? It's your choice because at that point you are identifying with Christ. You are proclaiming the gospel message and you are worshiping Him and saying, God, I am dead to myself and I am alive unto You. And I cannot wait to spend eternity with You. Maybe you think, maybe for you it's one of those things, it's like, well, I'm saved, so what's the big idea about baptism? Why must I be baptized? Well, since baptism is commandment and it's the example that we have been set for us, we should do it, right? In fact, James 1:22 says this. It says, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. What is that scripture talking about? And how am I referencing it here? This is it. If you hear God's word and you don't do it, you're just a hearer. It's kind of that thing where it goes in one ear and out the other. And is that the type of Christians God has called us to be? No. He has called us to be the type of Christians who do what He says. So therefore, if you think that there's no significance, there's no need, I ask that you would repent and change your mind according to God's word and get right with Him and follow Him and choose baptism. When you look at God's word, you look at the scriptures, baptism becomes easier to understand, doesn't it? When we take away what men's theology and all this other stuff away from it, and we look at what it says about baptism, God's word is clear. And if you need further help, maybe you don't understand, maybe we didn't answer all your questions. Well, I would love to talk to you. Pastor Glenn would love to talk to you to explain it further. Because it is so important that we have Christians who are not just hearers of God's word, but they're doers. So therefore, they make that decisions. They choose to follow the Lord, whatever He's asking them to do. Whether it's baptism, whether it's teaching one of our children's classes, whether it's playing in the band, whether it's going and helping the homeless, whatever it is, we need to be doers of God's word and not hearers only. So I hope that if this is the choice that you have today, that's your next step to choose baptism, that you will do so this morning. Father in heaven, we thank You for this day. We thank You for all that You've done for us. We thank You for Your great love and Your great mercy. We thank You for the fact that You set this example of baptism for us. And while we look at scriptures and we see Your example, where John the Baptist, he baptized you. Y'all went into the water. You came up out of the water. And the dove descended down upon you. And the voice of God says, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now that's what we want to have said about us. That we are doing what You want us to do. So Lord, if there's anyone here today that's holding on and they're struggling with this. And then they just won't give up. I pray that they will surrender to Your will. That they'll come and they'll ask those questions that they have. And they'll get those answers that they seek. And then as they clearly hear what Your word tells them, that they'll do that. I pray if they have any other problems, any other things that they need to seek counsel for, that they'll go and they'll visit those who are in the back of the room. Here in the front, they'll come and speak to me or Pastor Glenn. I pray that we leave here making a decision to follow You. Maybe we have been saved and we have been baptized. We've followed You already, Lord. But we're struggling with the fact that we're not dying to ourselves and we're not living that new life that You have told us about. And so, Lord, if that describes us today, I pray that we'll repent and get right with you, confess our sins, and say, God, I am sorry that I keep on trying to run this show. God, that's not right. It's yours to run. So, God, please remove me out of the situation. And allow me to choose to live for you, to walk in newness of life. I pray and ask whatever decision today that needs to be made, that it would be made and it would be for your honor and for your glory. And it's Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us for Faith Foundations. The foundation is the most important part of any structure. In fact, I'm having a house built right now, and I got to walk out and stand upon the foundation.
Yep.
I measured it to check to make sure everything is right, because if it's not right, the rest of the house can be really messed up. The Bible speaks about foundations, doesn't it, Glenn?
It does, Kyle. It says a story of a man who built on a sandy foundation, a rocky foundation, and then a solid foundation. The Bible makes it very clear that Jesus is the solid foundation. Our faith in Christ is the foundation of everything we believe. And everything we'll do in this series, we'll start with the foundation of Jesus Christ, and then we'll build on it with the truths that are taught in the New Testament. So join us here on campus at 9 and 10:30 every Sunday.
And download our app for more information. We hope you have a great week. God bless. Be safe out there.
Bye.